we really have to give them a little grace because it really is an intangible construct. I decided that this is my big sister. I'm going to go with her. Like, I don't think I wanted to really leave home. And I was more, you know, afraid about that. So I thought, let me phone a friend. Had never been on the campus. So we have to know our children. We have to know their capacity for sitting, for working, for finishing tasks. We need to know their academic capabilities. Today, I'm so excited to talk about time management and harnessing that wild horse of time. This is one of the top topics that we have all the time with families. My child is not using their time wisely. They're procrastinating. They don't know how to prioritize things. I have to tell them, do this, one, two, three. They should already know this. Now, I'm going to tell you again, and I'm going to tell you every time I need to, it takes 26 years for them, those cognitive skills, including time management, emotional regulation, organization, to really, really, really solidify in their brain. So it's gonna take them a little time. So even though we want them to get there, they're not always there. So, you know, when I think about time, I cannot help but think that in less than, I think, 7 to 8 weeks, I will be 50 years old. 50 years old, half a century if you're really great in math. And so I think about time. Well, where did time go? My goodness, what's happened in 50 years? There's too much to tell, but I do have some highlights. I do remember, you know, being a gorgeous, you know, 5-6-year-old ballerina and a little tutu dancing across the stage, everyone fawning over me. I do recall that. Then there were those middle school years that are so hard and so awkward and you just got to get through them. And I did. I also remember graduating from high school. And when I think about this, I still laugh. It's like the joke of the family. And I literally stayed 1 week and a half. I like to give the half because it gives me a little bit street cred. Like I was able to tough it out. But I really honestly think I stayed a week. And I called my mom and I said, can I please come home? Like, I don't want to be here. I can't do it. And I promise if you let me come home, I will work for a year and then I'll go to LSU and I'll go to school. It took me about a year and a half to get my stuff together. Y'all, I cannot not tell you a little bit about this story. So, in true, you know, this is just so who I am. 12th grade year, my sister and I were in the same grade. She had some medical challenges. And so we graduated together. She's a year older than I am, but we graduated together. She did what most people do when they go on to go to college. She toured and found the college of her dreams. And that's where she was gonna go. And at some point, I don't know when that was in the year, I decided that this is my big sister. I'm gonna go with her. Like, I don't think I wanted to really leave home. And I was more, you know, afraid about that. So I thought, let me phone a friend, go with a buddy, and it's gonna make everything well. Had never been on the campus, had never done any of this. Like, I don't know what was in my mind and in my thinking, but I did it. Got in the van, we headed there, I pulled up. And during that time, we had a different world, I believe. I wanna say it was a different world. So if you know a different world, there was like Dwayne Wine, and then there was Whitley. And I thought, you know, I was the Whitley, and I was gonna find my Dwayne Wine. But what I found instead was when I walked into the dorm room, I found 3 sets of bunk beds. Oh, in my own room, you know, with my own bathroom. 3 sets of bunk beds at Southwestern in Waxahachie, Texas, with all these people with like, you know, one drawer to put all your stuff in. And we brought our whole home. And I just was like, I can't do this. And, you know, she let me come home. But I remember that time. I remember getting married. I remember giving birth to my first child. I remember moving across states and starting a new life. I remember all of these things. And that's just like a hundredth, not even a snippet of what's happened in 50 years of living. So I tell you that story because I want you to begin thinking about time like you never have before. I want you to think about time as a wild horse. If you see a wild horse, you know that it's difficult to tame a wild horse. There are a lot of different things that happen and you have to have professionals, you know, to take that wild horse and make that horse be able to follow instructions and not harm anyone by, you know, kicking folks off, you know, off the beaten path and different things like that. So time, in the way that I view time and the way I help our clients view time, it's really like a wild horse. So if you think about it in that way, and it's difficult to tame, understand, because it is an intangible construct. So I understand that I'm going to be 50. I don't know how so much time passed that I'm going to be 50, but I am. I don't remember everything that happened over the last 50 years, but they happened. So it's just an intangible construct. So when we think about time and teaching time to our kids and making them accountable and helping them to understand, we really have to give them a little grace because it really is an intangible construct. So our job really is to take that intangible construct and put boundaries around it, just as we would that wild horse. We're not gonna let a wild horse just run free and say, well, the horse should have known that he should be inside these boundaries. And it sounds so ridiculous when you probably hear me say that. Like, how is he gonna know that? We have to make sure that we put him there and help him and train him. In the same way, when we think about time and procrastination and prioritization and those sorts of things, this is essentially what we're telling our children, right? Our children are like, you know, like you're not getting this and you should have done this in 30 minutes and all the different things. But the reality is not a reasonable expectation that we would expect them to just come out of the womb knowing how to harness the wild horse of time. So I'm gonna give you some tips today that I hope will help you. Now we wanna make sure that they're age appropriate things, right? Because there's some ways to harness time for a 5-year-old that for a 10-year-old that are not appropriate for a 5-year-old, or ways that we harness time for an 18-year-old that won't work for a 10-year-old. We have to give them, you know, appropriate interventions and constructs based on their age, right? Because everything is based on that. We can't, if we try anything else, we're not, it's not gonna work. It doesn't matter how smart your child is, because you'll take the smartest child, but they're 10. So we try to do things with them like they're 22, and we're like, well, why don't you get it? Because you're smart in math and you're like a genius, because they're 10. So we have to remember that. So I'm gonna give you three, write these down. I'm gonna give you three strategies that you can use. One is called the Pomodoro method. And so what that method does in terms of taming that wild horse of time is it really puts a timer on it. You don't need the old school timer like I'm gonna be 50. So when I think about a timer, I still think about the little kitchen timer that's like click, 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 ding. Okay, we have Alexa now, we have our phone, our reminders. We have so many ways to sit our children down and give them a certain amount of time to do something so they can understand in this time, when this timer goes off, there's an expectation that you should have this done. Now, if it's not done, and this is not a perfect system in terms of, you know, we're just trying to figure out what can they do in 15 minutes? You know, what's a reasonable time for them to complete 10 math problems? You're probably thinking, well, I was a genius in math, and so it should only take them 20 minutes. Maybe they're not a genius in math, so it may take them 40. So we may need to have them work for 20 minutes, give them a little break, give them a snack or some kind of protein, and then do 20 minutes again so that they can finish that task. So we have to know our children. We have to know their capacity for sitting, for working, for finishing tasks. We need to know their academic capabilities, because what's easy and shouldn't take that long for me or for you or for one of your other children may not be a reasonable expectation. So Pomodoro method is something that you can use across ages. For example, you have a 5-year-old. Let's say you need them to write their ABCs, and they're taking, you know, 3 days and 4 weeks to do that. Well, it should only probably take them about 15, 20 minutes max. Some of them will finish in 5. So we set a timer, we sit them down, we have them, you know, complete that task so that we can take the wild horse of time and we put it inside of this timer, this Pomodoro method, and we help them to understand, oh, okay, I have 5 minutes left. Okay, that's what I need. I need to finish this up. So that's one strategy that you can use. Another is time perception. I want you to think about time perception. Think about one task that you absolutely despise. I'm gonna raise my hand and say laundry. Like, I'm never ever gonna love laundry. It's never gonna happen. But then I'm shocked on a Saturday when I'm tripping over clothes and I don't have different clothes to wear, right? Like, how do we get here? Because that particular task, I don't care what you do with my time management, I don't really wanna do it. So it's going to feel like it took me 3 days. In actuality, it took me 2 hours and a couple loads. But if you give me another task, like, you know, I don't know, I love watching HGTV and Chip and Joanna, like time just disappears. Like, I'm like, oh my goodness, I can fix up that house. Or I watch House Hunters and I pick the people's homes. Like, it's just, you know, time doesn't matter. It's like easy peasy. You know, you get some popcorn, you sit down with Chip and Joanna, or you sit down with a House Hunters, and I'm in heaven. very different from laundry. So I want you to think about those tasks that are really aversive to you as adults, that you will do all kinds of things. You remember I said I'm not that great of a cook. I will make up a recipe to avoid laundry. And so I don't have a time management problem. I'm procrastinating. But time perception is really, it helps your children to understand that based on the task, if they love it, if they don't, that their perception of time is different, right? And so if they love it, then it's like, oh, we could play, you know, Fortnite forever. But if I were doing our math, which I'm struggling with, this is too long. I can't think. I need to get up. I need to go, you know, walk the dog. I need to do anything else other than complete this math. And so what we do with that, again, that's not easily changed, but you can explain it to a 10-year-old, 11-year-old, definitely older than that, to understand time perception. Like, you know what? You really don't like this. I get it. You know, Susie, that it takes you a long time to do it, but this is what we're going to do. What mama realizes is that when you first come home from school, you have a lot of energy. You just got your snack. So we're going to put that math when you first come home. We're not going to wait until you're right next to bedtime and say, okay, now it's time for you to do your math. You're going to have a struggle. It's going to be hard for them. It's going to take longer than it needs to be. And so what you've done is you've taken the data and the information that you know about your child, and now you're going to take those tasks that are less enjoyable, put them during their peak hours, whatever that is. Some people are better in the morning. Some people are better right after they come from school. Some people are better after dinner. Some kids are better. They're just like, maybe they're renewed. Some people are better after they've showered. You know, you just have to know what the peak hours are. Put the ones where they're just like, I'm ready. Put the math there. Put a task that they that's more enjoyable at another time, because I could be tired and still watch Chip and Joanna. I don't care. Like, knocked out, had a long day at work, I'm turning them on, or I'm picking houses for these people. It doesn't matter the time that you do it. So be smart about that. So that's time perception, teaching them to harness their peak hours with their enjoyable versus not enjoyable tasks. And then the last one, this is one that's really easy to understand, and I've used it with, you know, my 11-year-olds, really, and older. Depending on where the 10-year-old is, you probably could use it. But the Eisenhower Matrix is another way for you to take that time and harness that wild horse and make it make sense. Take an intangible, right, construct and make it more tangible for your children. And then the expectations will be more reasonable. So the Eisenhower Matrix is a 4-quadrant matrix. And what it does is it helps to prioritize tasks. When we prioritize tasks, that helps us with time management, because we're not wasting time on tasks that are not gonna get us towards our goal. Your children's not wasting time on tasks that are not gonna help them complete their homework or do their chores or get ready to get all their stuff to go to soccer. We're prioritizing the most important. So the matrix, at the very top of that, you're gonna see these are things that we need to do right now. These are urgent and important. And there's a deadline. Tomorrow that test is there. We gotta study for that tonight. So that's the first quadrant. The second quadrant, it's important. Like, we need to do it, but it's not urgent. Right? So it needs to be done, but it's not urgent. So we can sort of schedule that out. Maybe that's a project that they have that's due in 2 weeks. Well, it is important. They need to complete the project, but it's not tomorrow. So then we just plan that out so that they get that done. We chunk those project pieces so that they can get it done. The third one is you can delegate. So there's some tasks that we do, like I have tasks that I delegate, and your children, believe it or not, there's some tasks that they can delegate as well. And so when you delegate, that frees up your time. So you make a list of the things, well, you know what? I don't really have to do this. So someone else could do this, or my brother could do this, or whatever the case is. And of course it has to, you know, fly with the family, and you can't give away chores and stuff like that. And then the last one is, that one is really, these are things that you really don't want to spend a lot of your time on. Scrolling social media, playing video games all night. These are time busters. So when you take your child's day, for example, again, depending on the age, and you say, okay, we have these 5 things to do. Which box does it go in? Is it urgent and important? Is it important but not urgent? Can we delegate it? Or really, do we need to limit it or delete it from our day because we really don't have space in the day? So these are some tricks and tips and strategies that really could help you really keep your sanity, first of all, it can also help your children to take time and understand it in the constructs that will help them to be more successful. Listen, I hope that this podcast was helpful for you. You know, we would love to come alongside your family. And if we can, go to our website at www.gracespaceconsulting.com. Book a no discovery call with us. Let's see if we can partner together.